the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here, and this is my show, my weekly podcast, where I discuss all things related to health and happiness, how to live better in the modern world, how to, ready, wait for it, approach the natural. Years ago, I had a little moment where I realized, and this is a long story cut way short, how far we'd gotten as a species away from anything natural to us. And that goes for what we eat, how we move our bodies, how we socialize, how we use our minds, all those things. We have more and more separated ourselves from what is natural to us. And in an effort to help people live better in the modern world, I crafted an approach that I think works really well, but the goal is to bring people back by degrees, by small steps, to bring in a little bit more of what's natural to us day to day. And I think we eke out a better living, and I don't mean a paycheck, more than when we do that than when we don't. Pretty simple stuff, you guys, pretty simple stuff. And yet, 132 episodes in, I'm still coming here every week. And I'm still working with people, and I'm still getting emails from people all over the world about the struggles associated with living in the modern world. I think my small steps approach works extremely well. I think that holding the approaching the natural ethic in the way that you approach your life, holding the small steppers way of determining what you can do day to day, the best you can do every day, and knowing that that changes. And that allows you the freedom to adjust that in a way that serves you versus following something out of a book that says, do this on day 7, which doesn't take into account what you're doing or how your life might have changed on day 7 or maybe a social engagement that you have. So if you're just joining me, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you got here by a way of a recommendation or an iTunes review. Thank you. They've been coming in a little bit more. I really appreciate you guys throwing me iTunes reviews. Hopefully they don't take a lot of time, but man, it really helps. Okay. So SidGarzaHillman.com is where you can find all things out about me. I think I'm going to update my website soon because it looks like it's from 1974. Like it looks like it was done on an IBM Selectric 2. That's how my website looks. It's time for change. I think it looked okay for like a day before everything changed. So that's coming. I will have some news soon about the company that I'm starting that is obviously related to this. I can't really go in much, even on a legal way, until things get a little more settled on that front. But it's very exciting, and hopefully we'll be able to reach people on a much more personal level this way of thinking and approaching our lives. I think it's very cool. But again, ain't substituting for the podcast is just another thing if you want to go in deeper, which some people do with me on a private basis, but this allows it to be a little more accessible and hopefully to more people. Got it? Okay, good. Speaking of things like that, by the way, that was mushroom coffee. As if that's just news. News, bullet, in flash now, updated, just in. Matt Frazier, who is the gnome eat athlete. The no meat athlete. I said that completely wrong. He doesn't eat gnomes, as far as I know. He's the no-meat athlete, and he asked me to join him on crafting some sort of something or other. Now, you'd think I know more about it since we're about 99% done. In fact, we're going to do a little pre-soft launch this week. But it's essentially a meal plan, but I'm so wary of using those words because this isn't like what I just said, eat this on day 7. It's a completely customizable. Of course, I'm involved, and Matt's, you know, in the small step, you know, philosophy too. So it's really laying the information out for you and then giving you multiple different kinds of ways to eat better and learn to do that over time and set you up for lifelong. So I'm 100% behind it because it's not like other meal plans I've seen where they just hand it to you and it's basically a diet. So we have the recipes, but we have a lot of, like, there's 18 videos or even more. I think there's over 20 videos. I flew back to North Carolina late last year and shot some stuff with him. Some of it's cooking, some of it's just talking about nutrition stuff. So anyway, it's pretty cool. Go to No Meat Athlete for no information. That's nomeatathlete.com. And you can always email him if you're wondering when it's actually going to hit the general public. I think we're doing a soft launch to some of his core group to, you know, for they can work, help us work out the tweaks. And then you will open it up big time. So anyway, you'll get notification of that through this podcast, and also you know, sign up on my email on my website, put your email address in there, and you get notifications and a free chapter of my book. But I also will announce via that avenue as well. Okay, and I do am talking about in my videos, etc. Okay. StanfordInn.com is where I head up their wellness center. We've got, speaking of the No Meat Athlete, a running retreat coming up in June. Got some signups for that. That's a go. So if you want to jump in on that, do that. I think Matt's running a No Meat Athlete special of 10% if you mention No Meat Athlete. So that's what I just did, even though it's not my podcast. Hey, you know what? Mention Approaching the Natural podcast. Get 10% off. Okay, there you go. Boom. I just have to let the Stanford Inn know about that. Uh-oh. In 3 days, I'm heading to Marshall, Texas. I'm actually flying into Dallas, Texas. Then I'm jumping into a car and driving the rest of the way to Marshall. Healthfest.com, I will be there speaking twice on Saturday, April 2nd, but I will be there the 2nd and the 3rd. I'm going to see some podcast listeners, which is very cool. Very excited about that. And that's that. And then on to New York in May for the New York Veg Food Fest, nycvegfoodfest.com, and Edinburgh, Scotland in August, San Francisco in October. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. More on that. Okay, YouTube, still rolling, you guys. Oh, by the way, okay, so yeah, just Google Sid Garza Hillman. You'll find me on Twitter, Sid Garza Hillman, Instagram, Sid Garza Hillman, Facebook. I think I've struck a new balance there. I'm not doing that. And I'm also not speaking in double negatives. So I've got all those things sort of balanced out in my life. But I've been talking about social media, and I'm not giving it up. I just want to be clear about that. I'm not giving it up. Interestingly, I am Joan Stanford, co-owner of the Stanford Inn, has a book coming out in June. So it's not plugging it, whatever, but it's really good. She's an art therapist, and I had her on the podcast as a guest. But anyway, she wrote a book, and it's really, really good. And it's just about sort of the creative process. It is something I'm going to have her on to discuss because I'm obviously very fascinated. I dedicated a chapter in my book about creative thinking, about dedicating your mind to some sort of creative pursuits. So she's got this book coming out. And so she's completely where I was when my book came out, which was, what's it called? Oh yeah, Ignorant. And about social media and all this kind of stuff. So I'm coaching her the way that some people coached me. And it's kind of interesting to see that transformation in her. And she's just getting out there and networking better than I even ever did. And by the way, most of my stuff started after my book came out. How genius is that? But she's getting on top of it now, partly because I said, you need to get on top of this now. So it's cool. So she's getting into that whole swing of things. But I don't envy her. Because she's tweeting every day and Facebooking every day, and it's not a bad thing at all. And I want to be clear about that. These are not judgments for anybody else. This is just my balance and the way that it works for me. And it's not working. It hasn't been working. So where have I channeled my energy now that I've got freed up time from less social media? Into YouTube, really. And this, of course, this podcast stays true, but more into YouTube and just overall less stress, I guess. But I digress. one more plug, and this is not, again, not an asked plug. I'm not getting paid unfortunately for this, but I wouldn't ask for it anyway because she's freaking awesome. And that, her name is Katie Dalebout. KatieDalebout.com, DaleBout.com. Katie, it used to be called the Wellness Wonderland, and it really is, but she changed her URL to Katie Dalebout. I think she was trying to copy Sid Garza Hillman Duck. Look, I'm not going on the record with that, okay? She's a buddy of mine. I was on her podcast and we really hit it off. She is a sweetheart and the real deal, and I love her. So I'm going to plug her book for no other reason than I want to plug her book. Well, two reasons, because she's awesome, but her book is awesome. What's it on, you ask? You do? Good. Journaling. How much of a fan of journaling am I? There's no conflict here. I'm not selling out by freaking plugging a book on journaling, I'll tell you that much. It's totally the small steppers way to get behind this kind of thing. Her book is called Let It Out, and it's on Amazon, Katie Dalebout, Let It Out. I don't know if she meant to rhyme that, but that's what's happening there. And it's on Hay House, and it's a really good book. It's for pre-order now. I really wish you guys would go give her some love and order that book and kick her ratings up on the old Amazon charts. Katie Dalebout, let it out. Okay, good. Moving on. So I am less in, like I said, in the, and that's katiedalebout.com, by the way. I am less in the social media realm, more in the YouTube, which is technically social media. So there you are. Posted another one. So I'm about once a week. That's what's happening. Last week I had two, but that was just crazy. That was just extremism. This one was on how much do you actually need? Talked about bridging the gap between what we want to do and what we actually need to do. And when you focus on really how little you need, it makes the things that other things that you're doing, hopefully it makes those things a little more, you focus on whether they're fun for you or not. Essentially it comes down to that. If you don't need to do something, I hope you're doing it because it's fun for you and it enhances your life. If not, then you can scale back down and go, you know, I don't really need to be doing that. And that's what the video focused on. So I hope that you enjoyed it or aren't going to enjoy it. By the way, because I will, you know, watch, go on YouTube for things sometimes, there's an ad that's like everywhere. It's in the beginning of so many videos, and it's this like older guy who lifts weights, and he's totally cut and buff, and he's got gray hair. And so everyone's like, oh my God, he's got gray hair and he's buff. And there's this whole thing about once you hit 40, your testosterone goes down and blah, blah, blah. We give you three reasons why. Seen a million times. So I click on it. Now you're going to go, well, why the hell would you click on it? Because I always know, and I love looking behind the veil. Okay. I mean, what would happen if Dorothy was in Oz and she didn't look behind the veil and see that little guy in the back there pulling the strings? I mean, that's kind of, she'd be still going like, oh my God, Oz is amazing. He's amazing. But he's not. He's the guy behind a curtain. So I like to just kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and go, okay, what's the real deal here? Because you're talking about, I'm going to give you three easy solutions, but is it really that easy? Is it really that easy? Or is it work? What the? Yeah, subject of this week's podcast. But I'm not there yet, guys, so just hang with me. Jiminy Christmas, the pressure. You can always listen to this at two times. I mean, I'm just saying. And then I'm go. Sorry. So I click on the thing, and sure enough, there's pills. There's a diet plan, and even though you don't have to work out according to the thing, you kind of do have to exercise. So what happens, you guys? Something that seems really good, something that's sold to you as a really, really easy way to become completely buff with doing nothing, turns out to be, you gotta do something. That's like, that's crazy. Why would we have to do something to be healthy and happy? And by the way, they're not even talking about health and happiness. They're talking about kind of about happiness, because the implication, of course, is if you're super buff, then you're going to be happy. I don't know if that's anecdotal or scientific, but they're not talking about health. They're not talking about health. They're talking about gaining a bunch of lifting, you know, weightlifting kind of muscle. Okay. Not saying weightlifting is not healthy. I'm just saying that's not what they're shopping. Okay. So what's my advice? Look behind the freaking veil. Okay. Pull that curtain back. See who's pulling the strings there. That's what you need to do with small steps. You go, yeah, I feel the draw because I've been conditioned to feel the draw. Guess who has also? Me. And so I see these things and I go, okay, well, maybe this is the one. But instead of embarking on it, I go, well, let me look and see what's going on here. Because everything that you see, every P90X kind of thing, it's never without a diet plan. Have you noticed that? Beachbody. It's never without a diet plan. It's never without this thing. And those are the things, forget about, like I talked about last week, how intense those 10 minutes are that you're doing P90X and it's freaking miserable. And it's so miserable that most people won't stick it out. Generally, unless you just have a ton of time and energy and that's your thing, fine. But statistically, no. But then on top of that, you've got the intentional thinking of having to deal with their diet plan, with their follow this on this day with these recipes. You still got that stuff. Like I've said 1,000 times here, you can still be a small stepper and do diets. You can be a small stepper and still jump onto P90X. But my belief is that when you first establish the personal ethic of taking care of yourself and being able to assess what works for you and doesn't, what you're willing to take on and not willing to take on, then when you embark on these diets, if you do, they're for a completely different reason. And by the way, you're increasing your chances of sticking to it over time if you come at it this way. And you're not going to fail. You're going to sort of adjust if you start feeling like things are getting you down. Okay? It's again, this is the weight of chronic stress. You want to talk about fatigue and chronic fatigue. Energy from food isn't always going to cut that. That's one of the things, but you can eat a really good diet. But the fatigue of putting yourself time and time again into situations that increase your chronic stress, or at least maintain a level of chronic stress that's not sustainable, and you become fatigued as a result. You just can't keep, it's driving a car with the pedal to the metal the whole time. It just will break down. It can't handle that level. Okay. And I'm not even talking about by Ford Focus, but that can, because it's got that kind of focus, but most cars cannot. Okay. Speaking of which, I told you a couple episodes ago, I had a rough week last week, and I told you a few episodes ago, in the Know the Know episode, that I've been spread thin. And I saw that, you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit, just like small steppers do, because I did a whole episode on that because I saw it coming. I was like, and it's still happening, by the way. I'm not like past it. I have a lot going on right now. This Matt Frazier thing is one of the things, this business that I'm getting off the ground, that's another thing. And by the way, this little thing called the frickin' Mendocino Coast Ultra Marathon is another thing. And then my full-time job and my YouTube videos and my podcast. I got a lot going on. I'm spread a little thin, and it is wearing on me. I'm not going to lie to you. It's sort of like I'm trying, and I have a hard time sort of verbalizing this to anybody, like even, you know, Jeff Stanford. I finally last week was like, I'm running it a little thin here. So if I miss, you know, just this could happen. You could find me wandering on Highway 1, you know, with just a backpack full of Oreos. I don't know what's going to happen. I could crack. I'm feeding myself well. I'm on a dial back day right now, but it's not without fatigue. And I made some adjustments, and I'm very proud of those adjustments that I made this last week, and I want to share those with you. But I did see this coming. I could tell the beginning of, okay, this is happening. Part of the problem with the ultra marathon is that, you know, given how I talk so much about the arsenal of experiences, I don't really have experience in running a race. And I don't mean really, like I have zero. Now, there's been some really generous people. Two of them are this guy named John Mettinger. They call him Tropical John. And then his partner, I'm not sure if they're married, Lisa Henson, they run the Lake Sonoma 50 miler. And I'm just going to 100% plug them. And you should just sign up for their race, because if you're ever an ultramarathoner, first of all, it's a great race. But second of all, these couldn't be nicer people. They have no idea who I am, they don't even know if I can speak English. That's how little they know about me. And they have been offering information to me, and it's like my race is at the same time their race. Now, they have a super popular race. It's been around for years. They've got this built-in, you know, audience. It's a 50-miler. Mine's a 50K. There's no competition there, and they just could not be more generous. I mean, I just can't even believe it, how nice they are. But I had this very, very innocent question that I emailed, like, last week, and their race is April 9th. So it was bad timing. I was like, listen, you don't even answer this for a while, but how much water do you put liquid at each aid station table? That was just my simple, like, how much water should I plan given I've got 140 people, they have 350 people, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, what they did was just absolutely so generous and nice. They said, you know what? Not only will we tell you that, but we'll give you the list of stuff that we put at our tables. So a day or two later, I got an email with the list of what they put at their tables. Now, on my table, I thought, yeah, five or six things, pretty easy. Got some gels, got some, you know, Numino Oreos. Yes, and I may eat those before the runners get there, but that's not my problem. Potatoes, you know, peanut butter jelly, you know, just the standard fare, and I was going to make that happen. Then I got an email that literally made me wet myself, I think is the technical term, or go pee in my pant, whatever. It's what happened. But this long list of stuff, And I was like, didn't think about that. Thought about the noumenos, didn't think about that. And then for that, I just repeated that 20, 30 times. There's a list like a freaking mile long. It's a mile. It almost should have been an attachment. Instead, they put it in the body of the email. I had a little panic attack. So on top of everything else, you know, these guys have been doing it for 20 years. So they're like, yeah, we get stressed, but it's just what you just go down at Costco and we just get all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God. And so on top of everything else, it's been a rough week because there's a lot on my brain and I don't really have a lot of help. And that's what that is. So I'm having to learn, by the way, ask for help. I'm having to learn how to kind of put it out there to get people to maybe give me a hand. And that's not easy for me. Now, how did that manifest? What did I do? This is a learning experience for you guys and for myself. Okay, so this is why I'm sharing this with you. As I see myself be spread thin, as I see my life sort of start to just crumble at the edges, just a little the edges, crumbly, and I'm going, wow, and I'm not sleeping well. I'm waking up at 3 a.m. and I've got, you know, a to-do list in my brain, just nutty, nut, nut, you know, just it's that whole thing. And the stress of it, the physical stress of this. Well, last week I made a big stride. And that is that I essentially took an unintentional taper week. If you guys are runners, you'll know what a taper week is. But you train, and then sort of a week before your race, you taper, meaning you do a lot less exercise that week. And some people do taper weeks halfway through training. They take a week where they do a lot less, and it sort of lets their body sort of take a little break, and then they get back into it. Well, I really did go by my feel last week. And I really was exhausted and fatigued. And it wasn't necessarily just about a matter of hours of sleep. It was what I talked about last week, which is that intentional thinking, being present, is an energy expenditure. We don't really tend to consider how much of an energy expenditure that is. And when you've got these, when I have these things going on, where I've got multiple places where I'm placing full on energy. It's not like I'll half-ass that over there and I'll put a little more. It's like I'm full steam ahead on four things total. Now, do I have to do a YouTube video every week? No, I don't. And I may back off. I don't know. I managed to sort of get that done yesterday and actually had really a good time doing it. So it was sort of like, I'm going to go outside and do this. And it sort of got me to do that. And that was fine. But exercise-wise, I really backed off last week. And I did because I would wake up feeling strained, like mentally strained. And I just didn't have it was like the idea of getting up and going for a run 5 days a week was just not on the table. And what I realized in one of my days of just lightly jumping on a trampoline, and I ended up running one of or two of the days, just, but I mean slow. I backed off like 2 minutes per mile. Follow me on Strava if you don't believe me. And you'll see. And by the way, I forgot to mention, totally follow me on Strava. Boom. So what I realized in one of those runs, and I did like light trampoline. I didn't do any intervals on the trampoline, which I'll tend to do. Didn't do them. Went on, my runs were like 4 mile, and I mean like slow. And I mean just taking it easy. Here's the other big win, my integrated exercise. And notice how I've said big win. Okay, wait for it. My integrated exercise, where I'm up to 24 push-ups, 24 squats, 7 times a day. I'm up to 9 pull-ups, 7 times a day, every other day. I barely did any last week. There were days I did zero. One of the days I did 4 sets instead of 7. One of the days I literally did 1 set, didn't even post it to Strava. I did 1 set thinking, oh, I'll get this going. Just wasn't having it. I want you guys to understand this for me, because as a way of getting this back to you, how hard that is for me. And talk about the tension of should, which I have talked about in the past, the tension of should, how much tension what we feel like we should be doing creates, how much tension that creates. And I realize that how much of a physical feeling that is. I mean, I felt this like I should do my integrated exercise. Well, I didn't really run, so I should do my integrated exercise. The big win of this process, you guys, for me this week was that here's how I look at it. I backed off. Here's how I looked at it. I traded physical movement and conditioning for mental conditioning. I had a win this week because I realized how much more in charge I am than I was 5 years ago, when I really would have pushed through and did the integrated exercise and gone for the runs. And, you know, that's, I've told the story before about how I ruptured my Achilles tendon. But even 2 years, 3 years ago, I would have pushed through it. Well, it's just that I'll be fine. I traded physical conditioning for mental conditioning. I gave my body a break and strengthened my mind. I really believe that to be true. I felt so good. And because of my arsenal of experience, I knew that if I gave up a week of doing this, that it wasn't going to be the end of it. I knew that my most of the time had been set so much because I've been doing integrated exercise for over a year now, you guys. I've been running for 30 years. I knew that if I just took a week and didn't do it, it wasn't going to be like I'm never going to come back and do it. Guess what happened today? Did my integrated exercise sets. I mean, this is because I knew that was going to happen. So because I knew it was going to happen, there was no worry there. And I was able to just say, you know what? I'm not feeling it this week. I'm not doing it. My wife's like, you're coming back to do the trampoline again? I was like, yeah, I can't. I'm not happening. Put on a fun movie. Just moved my body a little bit. Literally didn't even break a sweat. And huge. I mean, huge. One of the runs I did of the 2 days I did run was on the first part of the ultra, which is this path along the coast. And I always go the same way. But one of the ways is going down this little hill and then up this stairwell. And I was so in the zone, and I really do think this is being in the zone, by the way, in how people define being in the zone, where you're just like in this like great, peaceful, balanced state where you're just working, just bypass the stairs. I mean, this is, you're going to go, oh, big, you bypass stairs. You guys, I want you to understand what a struggle this is for me. I am totally of the militancy kind of bent. And for me to just be like, yeah, I'm not doing the stairs today. I'm not going to do that because it's harder. It's because it's harder. I'm going to run flat around the stairs because I don't want to do something that's harder right now. Because guess what? There's a whole bunch of harder stuff happening in my brain already. And what I need from this run isn't about physical conditioning. What I need from this run is less stress. What I need from this run is a relief from stress, a stress relief. But that's not my, has no, well, put it this way, that has not been my makeup. And for me to have that kind of achievement is real and huge and something I want for all of you to realize that when you set a most of the time, you're still in charge. You're still in charge of your most of the time. You can change your most of the time. You can take a break from your most of the time because guess what? It's your freaking most of the time. It's not your all of the time. I mean, how awesome is that? How awesome is that? The more that you accomplish through this process, the less you're worried about taking breaks now and then because you know you're going to come back to it. So I want to share another story. This is a very practical thing. A client that I worked with a few months ago who is just kicking complete ass and it's just awesome. Can I have a quick phone call with you? And say, so I said, sure. So I do this with clients sometimes where they're like done working with me, but we jump on a thing and it's no charge. I just want to make sure it's in my best interest for them to kick some total ass. Okay. Got it. Right. Because they tell two friends and they tell two friends and they tell two friends. And so I got on the phone and she was like, look, I'm going on a trip. And, you know, I wanted to ask you your opinion about that. And I've told this to many a client. And so I'm going to share this with all of you now. I don't give a crap. And I say that in a much nicer way on the phone. I'm a little more polite to people. But see, this is a one-sided podcast and I'm not sponsored. So I'm not answering to freaking, you know, razor blade people. I don't have a sponsor. I can say whatever I want. Perfect. And so, my concern, I say nicely, isn't what you're going to do over the next 4 or 5 days. Why? Because it's your most of the time. And this is my way of saying to clients and to you that regardless of what your most of the time is, by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be a really kick-ass most of the time. It's just that your most of the time is your most of the time. And if you don't travel every week and you go on a vacation, that's not your most of the time. It's not relevant. So what I recommended was focus on when you get back. Two things are going to occur. You leave yourself a little to-do list when you get back, a little steps list when you get back. Like, okay, you're back. I hope you had a good time. Here's what you do. That helps you re-engage, re-establish your steps list. You might have to back things off a little bit right when you get home because it did break the sort of routines of things. Fine. You got a little modified steps list and then you bring back and then within a week or two, you're back to full force. Number two, and this is the big one for me, and this is why I love the most of the time thing that I crafted, because it's just awesome and I love it too, the mod, the most of the time. The second thing is, when you think this way, and when you realize it is about most of the time, when you're really talking about health and happiness, it's about most of the time. If you're just talking about health, you're going to go to militancy. You're going to go like, I can't have a drop of oil ever. And then you're going to create more stress and you're going to not be as happy for the sake of not having a single freaking drop of oil. That's of course not healthy, but so are a ton of things that everybody does, because nobody's 100% natural in the modern world. Sorry, doesn't exist. So back to this. When you realize you're most of the time is fueling your life, then you focus on what you're going to do when you get back. And second of all, this is the big one. You actually can maybe, enjoy your freaking vacation more. And this goes to just day-to-day living, that I eat most of the time extremely well. Why? Because I feel good. Go watch my What I Eat Most Days. You'll see. But notice it's what you eat most days. Why? Because when I have a special meal, like this weekend, I had friends come up from the Bay Area. My wife and I have a college friend who lives down there. My wife and I went to college together at UCLA, and we met this guy there. And so we've known him for 30 years. He came up with his family. And we had a big feast, a big special meal. I don't have conflict about that. I'm not watching my weight. I eat till I'm full. And when I have a special meal, I freaking love it. I dive in hardcore. I like love it. I'm like feasting, and it's awesome because my most of the time affords me that pleasure. More pleasure than I ever did when I wasn't eating well most of the time. Now I eat well most of the time. I enjoy those meals more than I ever did. That's what I want you guys to do on vacation. I don't want you to worry about crafting some sort of plan or even a steps list on vacation. You take the weight off your shoulders. You're going to be fine. You're not going to go nutty nut nut because you're a small stepper, and you sort of like, yeah, but you're going to get into it and love it and be present to it and not feel guilty about it, not feel fatigued by it, by the effort that it takes, not feel in conflict with what's going on. You dive in big. That's hot. That's awesome, you guys. And that's what I want for you. Again, what are we doing this for? Why are you listening to this podcast? Because you want to be happy. Yeah, healthy too, but you want to be happy. You want to be happy. I just tend to think that health is integral to being happy. I think it's an integral part of being happy, but it is about being happy. And we want to live a good life. And we're in this world where 3 days ago or whatever it was, we turn on the news and somebody in Belgium bombed people. And we get that kind of news on top of everything else that's piling up in our lives. And we have to figure out how to eke out a level of balance or some sort of something to balance that kind of thing out. Okay? We don't need to put extra pressure on us when we go away for a weekend or have a special meal or go on vacation. We don't need the extra pressure ever, ever. We need less pressure and less stress every time. Now, somebody recently goes, well, stress is good. Sure. Adaptive stress is fantastic. The stress that is of a minimal enough amount that allows your body to actually adapt and grow and evolve is fantastic. That's not the kind of freaking stress I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about the stress that makes you exhausted at the end of the day, that makes you sleep for 8 hours and wake up like you just got hit by a train. That's how I felt last week. I looked at my hours. There was a couple nights where, no doubt, woke up at 2 a.m. up till freaking 3:30, just brain not turning off. 100%. But there was other nights where I banked 8 hours and just woke up feeling like I had infant twins again, which is the most tired I've ever been, ever, ever. They've done contests where people try to step for like however many days, 10 days. Those people don't have twins. They're not that tired. If I stayed up 10 days straight, it's nothing like 2 days with twin infants. Just telling you. And I was doing the breastfeeding. Imagine that. Talk about chronic fatigue. My God, my wife had it so easy. She doesn't listen to this podcast. There's virtually nothing I can't say in this podcast. I'm totally not getting in trouble at all. Like, honey, had a good episode, 132. I think she listened to the first five and she's like, yeah, I know you, because it's just going to be, I know you already. Okay. Back to this whole win. Because I'm patting myself on the back. Small steppers will pat themselves on the back, by the way. If you ever see somebody walking down the street and they just pat on the back, that's what happens. Ooh, I have to make a quick announcement, you guys. Somebody ordered a t-shirt. Thank you so, so, so much. I went down to get the freaking t-shirt. Sold out. I'm sold out of mediums and smalls. I got nothing. I have large and extra large. If you guys email me and you want literally 50% off a large or an extra large Approaching the Natural t-shirt, you can go to SidGarzaHillman.com. 50% off, email me and I'm just going to try to get rid of the last ones and then I'll order a different color because that color I loved. And I may get more of those, but I also want to try another color that I have my eye on, which is like a navy blue type thing. Anyway, 50% off large and extra large Approaching the Natural t-shirts. Okay. Boom. Boom. Good. Okay. So back to my win. Didn't take the stairs. But I wanted to discuss strength and weakness. In this situation, had I pushed through the run, had I run every day, had I done my integrated exercise, and I explained that story to some people, they would have been like, dude, you're tough. You're tough. You got strong. Kick some ass. Push through it, dude. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. I don't look at it that way. And I don't think my small steps approach, I don't think small steppers look at it that way. The strength for me and my approach, whether you buy it or not, not literally, but figuratively, whether you buy it or not, is this. Strength is in the acknowledgement and the action of being in control of you, of taking control of your own life, being in control of your own life, recognizing the power you have to make these choices in your life. I was the strongest person in the world in my mind last week, not taking the stairs, not doing integrated exercise, and doing very, very, very light exercise all week against the feeling in my gut that I should have. You want to talk about strong? Defy that gut feeling that you have to push through this stuff because that's how you were raised or whatever. Defy that. Look that in the face and say, yeah, that ain't me. I'm the taking care of myself guy. I'm the guy who takes a break this week because I'm overspent and I'm overspread out and I'm exhausted and I ain't pushing on this level too. There's certain things I have to push through because I have deadlines. This ain't one of them. I'm not training for a race. I'm not a professional athlete. I run to alleviate stress because I love it. Two more bonuses, not to dwell on this for a super long time, but two more bonuses I want to talk about with this, which is kind of amazing. This is going to blow your mind. Ready? Lost weight this week. Lost weight. Less exercise, lost weight. Realized what I already know and have talked about a million times. Weight management is, and I'm not trying to lose weight, but I noticed I just kind of shed a pound. Because weight management is very little about exercise. We don't need, watch my video that I just did of how much you actually need. You don't need a lot of exercise. Now, I run because I love it. But I don't ever run ever because I want to lose weight, just so you know that. Okay? It's mostly about how you fuel your body. And of course, you need to move your body in a way that maybe wild animals do, gorillas, things like this, in an integrated fashion. But this whole idea of a 45-minute spin class is nutty nut nut. But again, if you enjoy it, do it. But you don't need to do it. Okay, so got a little weight loss, a little fouls. Like, all right, good, good, good. Second, Sid, my running partner, and my buddy Bree, who's my little cheese partner. I had two Pippi Longstocking references this week. I don't know why. I re-listened to last week's podcast. And by the way, mine cut off at the end when I re-listened to it. And if that did for you, I don't know why, because I just checked the file and it was totally fine. So it might just be my phone, but it did cut off just at the very end by about 30 seconds. So apologies there. But I talked about Pippi Longstocking there and then was making fun of my buddy Bree, who threatens to punch me in the face almost weekly about her striped socks that reminded me of a little girl named Pippi freaking Longstocking. Two references in 1 week, not intentional. Is that awesome? I mean, that's strength right there. I don't even know why I got on that. But anyway, okay, so Sid goes, hey, I'm going to run your entire route, she says. And so I jumped in for the first 15. Now you might go, you just told me you tapered and you had to take off. And you're right. But I thought, this sounds kind of fun. Now Sid's been running a ton because she's actually training for a 100-miler that I'm going to be pacing her in June in San Diego. And so she goes, I'm going super slow. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go. And if I want to bail off, I'll bail off. There was points that I could stop. I took the easiest run. It was so easy. It was zero fatigue. It was actually energizing. It was on a weekend, so I didn't have to go to work right after. We got up early. It was like freaking paradise. That was super fun. So this, I had a really, really successful week. And so I was excited to do this week's podcast to tell you, guess what? All the things I didn't do. I mean, that's the strength of this. Just so you guys remember that you are in charge of you, okay? Lest you wonder, my message is always going to be to help you. Well, the message is going to be for you to know how much control you actually do have, how much strength you actually do have, how much power you do have, and hopefully through this podcast and with the clients that I work with privately, to just help peel away the layers to get down to what's already there. It's already there. It's already freaking there, okay? You don't need me. I just need to make sure that you get to the point where you realize that. Got it? Good. Good. Ask any client who's ever worked with me. Ask them if I try to tie them up and say, yeah, you should probably come back for a few more months. Ask how many clients. Never is the answer. Never. Usually I go, just go try this for a while. If you got to jump back in for a short period of time, fine, but not right now. You got to just keep on keeping on with this because you got it. You understand it. Life may change. Fine. Then this is going to speak to a little bit more of what that company is going to be about because that's what you're, yep. Okay. Last thing. This is kind of like also another big point about this. The choice that we think we have. So let's look at my last week and say, okay, well, Sid had a choice. He said, and this is me referring to me in the third person, which I love doing. Sid had a choice. He could choose to run. Or he could choose not to run. He could choose to push through and run the stairs or not. He could choose to do his integrated exercise or not do his integrated exercise. And here's what I want to point out. Oftentimes, choice is not so much choice as it is what the me would do versus what the not me would do. In this situation, here's how I'll illustrate that point that I just made, which I think was really, really a strong point. Pushing through and running the stairs, not me. Avoiding the stairs, taking it a little easier on the days, given the entirety of my life, totally me. So is it really a choice? Because if I act like the me, and this is, if you're just joining me, I'm sorry, but this is the me, not me game. So go back and listen to old episodes, but I urge people and crafted this game called the me, not me game. If I'm just the me, if I'm in the me, there's no choice. The me avoids the stairs. There's no dilemma. There's no, is there A or B? I don't know. Should I run? Should I do my integrated? There's no choice. There was no choice there. That's why it felt 100% right. That's why I'm so excited to feel the way that I feel now, which is that I didn't get sick and didn't get injured because some BS macho thing decided I was going to have to do this. And by the way, totally not me. The not me charges ahead that week. The not me says, run the stairs, man, no pain, no gain. That ain't me. There's no choice there. The clearer I am about who I am removes these kinds of choices in a huge, profound way. The more me I learn to be, the more often I am the me, the easier it is for me to know what to do. The conflict falls away. I approach the stairs. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was a 1 second kind of contemplation, consideration. And did I feel it in my gut? Yes, I did. That's the tension of should. I felt it in my gut, but there wasn't really a choice about it. And you know how I know? Because when I did what I did, I felt really, really good about it. Okay. Now, one point I want to make before I get to the subject of this week's podcast is I taught a class a few weeks ago with this very, very nice woman. And it's kind of an ongoing thing that she's doing with me through the Stanford Inn. And I had her do the first task. Now, if you're just joining me, the first task that I have virtually every client I've ever worked with do, since I've been a small stepper, is to write their ideal life, but as if it's happening now, present tense. So not I'm going to be at a healthy weight, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm blah, 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 but I'm at a healthy weight. I eat really well most of the time. I socialize this way, I live in this house, et cetera, et cetera. But it's as if it's happening now. The way I've described it is, you know, I think I talked about last week, I don't remember, but you put a shroud over somebody and you go, you're living your ideal life, but you don't know what you look like. And you don't know how that life is. Write it down. And then the shroud comes off and you go, oh. And what you realize is, okay, well, this is my ideal life. This is who I think I really am, but I'm not really living that way in this way, this way, and this way. So enter the small steps of like, okay, well, how do we approach closer to the person that you already know you are, but you just haven't been living that way. Again, the me, not me. But as I told this woman to try this out, she had a very, very hard time writing that task. And it occurred to me what I've communicated to you before is how hard this process is. It's not hard to put a pen on paper and write for 5 minutes. It's not a time hard. It's a never ask this question hard. It's a I really believe that I'm the person who does the things that I've been doing. We can't separate ourselves from that. We are so ingrained. And what I wanted to talk about in this way is the tradition of habit, how habits become like traditions. They become so inked and cemented as who we are that we can't even conceptually think, well, how the hell can I write something that I am but I'm not that person? It's this weird, how can I write that I eat healthy food but that's not who I don't eat healthy food. And again, I argue, no, but you do. You just haven't been. You do, because that's how you identify deep down, is if you didn't know better, somebody told me you're doing exactly what you want to do, you would write, I eat healthy food most of the time, because that's what you value. That's who you are. That's what you stand for. That is really you. But we have such a hard time extrapolating that, or at least isolating that from the actions that have defined us in the world, how people, other people define us, how our parents, how our family members, how our friends define us. Our habits have become traditions. We have a hard time questioning. We have family traditions, religious traditions. We don't question them. They're just, we do the, you ever talk to somebody, I just do it. It's a tradition. Well, I know, but why? Because it's a tradition. It's what I do. It's what I do. Okay, but not necessarily. And again, I would say only if it serves you. And by the way, notice this little fact. We do create new traditions. I mean, my family, my wife and 3 children, we have created family traditions. We do things now on a weekly basis or semi-regularly that are sort of like, this is what we do, this is like our family tradition. Like, we do this thing. Well, that wasn't always the way, because guess what? I haven't always been married with 3 kids. So we do infuse different things when the context of our lives changes. We start a relationship and then we have this thing that we do. My partner and I, we go to this place every year. It's a tradition. Well, that's because you created that thing. You weren't born with that partner. So you do have the ability to do these things. And I just want to look sometimes at habits in the same way, or want you to consider habits in the same way, that these have become traditions. And when we follow them that without question, we tend to not notice where they fit in our lives, or how they fit in our lives, or if they serve us or not. And we tend to think that we're beholden to those traditions instead of in control of even those things that seem so who we are that it blows our minds to think maybe they're not who we are. And maybe when I write my first task, some of these traditions aren't in that picture. Wow, that shakes things up a little bit, doesn't it? That makes us, in a way, disoriented. That certainly makes, like I've talked about, people in our lives become disoriented by the way that we are now approaching our lives. It freaks people out when we do different, but that's not what Sid does. Kind of weird. There is so back to that woman is, I mean, I've kind of extended it like, okay, keep trying with this. This is just the first task. Keep trying with this. You know how, I mean, I'm blown away, by the way, by the sheer bravery of people taking this way of thinking on, because we don't take those moments. And I've done a video on it called Just Ask the Question. Go to YouTube and watch it. We don't take the time to ask these questions. Some of us never have. We're so beholden to the world, to the responsibilities, to family, to friends, to everything, that we don't stop and ask this question and realize that sometimes who we are is in conflict with how we've been living. And that's such a useful but can be a painful realization. But here's the bonus of being a small stepper and approaching your life in this way. The bonus is that we have in our lives, this isn't the bonus yet, wait for it, we have forced identification. There are times in our lives where the identities of us, how we think of ourselves, who we quote are, I'm this way, I'm a runner, we have forced identification changes that occur. Guess what? We're going to get older, okay? Right now, I would tell you that I'm a long distance runner. So that's who I am. I'm a long distance runner. I run miles. I can go a 50 mile run, no effort at all. Okay, that's who I am. Well, I know that when I'm 80, that's most likely not going to be true. Now, I guess it could be, but okay, how about 90? Okay, how about 100.999? Okay, how about when I'm that old? I won't be able to run 15 miles, pretty much, okay? Don't get hung up on that. There's going to be a point where my life's going to change. I'll put it that way. And there will be, guess what? I'm a parent. There's a good chance at some point that I will be a grandparent. That's an identification change. And it's not going to be like, of course, I would love to be a grandparent, but there's going to be a point where my wife and I look at each other and go, holy crap, we're grandparents. I know that to be true because that happened when I'm a parent. That's a forced identification change. That's a time and something in our lives where, I mean, look, I'm a nutritionist health coach now. 15 years ago, full-time actor musician. That's it's an identification change that I have had to grapple with. Now the bonus. Small steppers train for this. We're training for this. We're training for when the identification change has to happen, we go with it a little bit easier than we would have had we didn't have this training. I know that when the changes come, it's not me going, now who am I? I don't know what to do. I'm floating around. I'm no longer a long distance runner. What the hell am I doing? I have no grounding. Instead, I go, yeah, okay, this has changed. I'm going to tweak this. I'm these other things. I've dialed in on this. I'm going to rewrite my first task. How am I going to be as a grandparent? That's what I'd like to know. If I'm not a runner, am I a walker? What would I enjoy? Am I a swimmer? Small steppers try other stuff. We ease our way into a whole bunch of different kinds of things until we find something that we absolutely love and that gives us pleasure. And that forms because we start doing it. We build the arsenal of experience and we become that person. And it's so much more effortless than this kind of thing where we're so tied into how the world defines us. Well, when that changes, we don't have a go-to to come back. We don't have a grounding center. We don't have a foundation to rest until we can come back out in a new way. But small steppers do. We train for this. We train for this every time we try something, to integrate something, to dive in, to test something. We train for this identification change that is going to happen in some fashion, in some way, not necessarily major or affecting all areas of your life, but that's the point. It affects maybe one area of your life, but small steppers realize there's other areas. And we work through those and we know and we have tools to deal with those, rewriting our first task, building a steps list, integrating more deep breaths, more moments of calm in our lives to help us through these changes when they occur. This goes for children to teenagers, teenagers to adults, adults to parents, parents to grandparents, and everything in between that's not even familial, that's job related. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, that's a bonus. All right, there's your bonus. I want to finish up by talking about work. And I've talked about work before and that this small steps approach is work. It takes work. I talked about it last week, the intentional energy of this. But I was in the market a few weeks ago. In fact, if you watch one of my videos, I can't remember what it was, which video it was. I can't remember. Gosh. That's how much of a YouTuber I am. Anyway, I saw this guy in the aisle at the supermarket, and I was listening to your body. That's the one. Listen to your body. And he's a buddy of mine, but more importantly, or at least just more realistically, he directed this web show called Sundays, and you can find it on the internet, SundaysTheSeries.tv. You can watch all the shows. It's on YouTube too. It's a pretty cute little show. He wrote it and directed it on YouTube. It's a web series, and he did it before. This is like 5 years ago, before sort of web series became even a thing. Like, he was at the beginning of this process and we got nominated for stuff. We flew to New York and it was cool. So anyway, I saw him and he hasn't been doing this, and this is his passion. And we talked about it a little bit because he had wanted to do another show and that didn't kind of pan out and everything else. And so he's been working in another area, and we talked about it. And I said, you know, why don't you just start shooting scenes, float them on YouTube. You got nothing to lose. You write a scene. Again, I'm thinking about these things in ways that I didn't even when we did this web series, which is we can make work for ourselves in an unprecedented fashion. I mean, this is an incredibly exciting time in so many ways. When I started out playing music, there was no YouTube. There was barely internet. I mean, I remember I was on this website called IndieSpace in like 1994, where you could listen to music online. It was like literally one of the first websites, and it was a mind blower. Of course, it took like a year to download one song. It was like, you know, great, but it was the beginning of that thing. But we didn't have an outlet. You didn't shoot a music video and post it. I shot a music video, and then it would be like on a videotape, and I would send it to blah, blah, blah. There was, you know, MTV kinds of shows. Of course, I never got on there. We can make work. We can shoot a video. We don't need anybody. We can float a music video on YouTube. The equipment has become so much more reasonable. We live in this incredible time where we can actually make work for ourselves. This podcast is a perfect example of that. I didn't ask anybody's permission. I didn't have to shop this idea around to somebody and hopefully get it accepted and audition for it. And then maybe, you know, this and that. It's a pretty, pretty great time. But then we've got that, where we can make this work. But then we also have, because of that, we see these kind of, I call it like the Kardashian syndrome. We see this sort of pre-achievement celebrity, this so-called success hit very quickly with almost no work. And that messes with our brains, because we've got these platforms on which we can actually create work, blogs and videos and podcasts. But then we've got these people who are somehow they look like they're cheating the system, that they're able to jump through, somehow get through this stuff and become successful without work. That's a very weird thing. I remember my uncle, who's semi-famous, he was in the Byrds, he was the bass player of the Byrds, and he said, you know, back in the day in the 60s, when the Byrds, before, just as the Byrds were hitting, like, it was this time where your band, you could record a demo and to like send it to a record company, and record company go, yeah, okay, we'll sign you. Like, it was that kind of thing. But then that changed, where then this transition period, you no longer sending demos. You had to play live and get a, you know, a following live and all these kinds of things. And that was really a slog. And now we've sort of gotten even through that. And yes, you got to still play live, but also now there's this like video. There's this band called OK Go, which, I mean, I think they're a good band, but their videos are freaking amazing. And they've built this entire huge millions of people following from these very creative, awesome videos that they were just like, yeah, we're just going to do this ourselves. And it's just this like DIY mentality of making these things for yourself, of doing these things for yourself and by yourself. You want to make movies, you can make movies. They might suck. Who cares? You start the process. I talked about last week. You want to write a novel, you got to write. And the more you write, the better you get. My videos, my YouTube videos, are getting better. You may not disagree. You may disagree with me, but I can. To me, I can see the evolution already in like 40 videos that I've done. My editing's better. My camera work's better. It's evolving. I couldn't get to there before I got to the one before it and the one before that. They're not all going to be good. They're going to suck sometimes. I don't know, but the work continue. I make the work for myself. Now, bigger picture. This is how the small stepper applies this kinds of thinking to health and happiness. We can't wait for somebody to make us happy and healthy. We got to make the work for ourselves. We have this sort of Kardashian syndrome in the way that we look at diet books and like this jackass on YouTube who's, you know, lifting the weights. We want it to be done for us, or we want it to be so easy. We think that that's a possibility, but it's not a possibility. We're sold it as a possibility, but it's not a possibility. We have to do it ourselves, but the beauty is we can. And we can use these tools and this accessibility of creativity, for instance, to actually do stuff. We can blog. Even if one person reads it, it doesn't really matter. We can put our brains into creative. We can put our brains into helping other people. We can put our brains into doing things that we love. And we don't have to wait for somebody to give us permission to do that. We don't have to be a struggling actor who's just not acting for 10 years because they want to make their big break. They can act now. They can write scenes and shoot them and put them on YouTube. And it's amazing that there are, people will find you. You put yourself out in the world, people will find you. Now, is there negative to that too? For sure. Because there's the nutty nut nuts who are going to try to take you down because they're bothered by the fact that you're doing stuff. And they're not. By the fact that you're making the work. And they're not. How does a small stepper handle that? The small stepper handles it because the small stepper is clear on who they are. And who they're not. And who they are, maybe, is somebody who makes work for themselves. who creates their own work, who doesn't wait around for somebody to allow them to work, who is in control, who is about the work and not about the comments about the work, who is about the work and not about the criticism about the work, who makes the work for themselves, who takes their own health and happiness on in a way that isn't, gosh, I really wish this could be overnight. I wish I could do this while I sleep. And instead says, yeah, I'm happy that doesn't happen that way. I'm going to work. I'm going to make work for myself of being a healthy and happy person. I'm going to create a system that I can work within to do this thing. I don't have to wait for diet books. I don't have to wait for quick fixes. I don't have to wait for some, you know, crazy sell on YouTube. I can set about the work of doing this myself. That is amazing. And of course, we have more access to information than ever before. And sometimes we get distracted by watching stuff that, you know, and we need the break. I'm not saying that. But we also have access to amazing information, like I hope that you think this podcast is, but there's also some amazing, a ton of other amazing podcasts that you can get all this amazing information, but then you make the work. You get the information and you make the work. You find what you love, how you want to live, and you set about making the work to get that done. You set about making the work to live the way you want to live. You want to be an actor? You can make the work to be an actor more than you've ever been able to do in your life. You want to be a musician? You can make the work of that. You can play and videotape yourself and post those on YouTube and share your songs with potentially millions, if not billions of people around the world. That's an incredibly, incredibly exciting time that we're living in. And we can look at the Kardashians and say, yeah, but they're successful and they don't really do anything except walk around. But I don't know if they're happy and I don't care if they're healthy. No, I don't want to say that. Of course I care. Of course I care if Kim Kardashian is healthy. It's my biggest care. I'm not concerned with their health and happiness. I'm concerned with your health and happiness. I'm mostly concerned with if you are healthy and happy, if you think you're healthy and happy. Not whether I think somebody else is or you think somebody else is, but do you think you are? And if you don't, make the work to get that done. That's the small steppers way. Very cool. Very cool. I don't mean to say that I don't care about Kim Kardashian's health. Of course I do. And now I feel really guilty about, wait, that's not me. I don't feel guilty about that. We don't want to get sucked into this. We want to avoid as much as possible getting sucked into the draw of, yeah, I kind of understand that it's hard work, but look what they did. Well, I don't know if they're happy. You don't know if they're happy. So you can try to cheat the system or try to jump 10 steps ahead. And if that works for you, fantastic. Or you can acknowledge that no matter what, to be happy and healthy actually does take work. And what they're doing, first of all, you don't know what they did to get there. And second of all, you don't know if they're happy and healthy, because chances are if they got there that fast, they're probably neither. All right? DIY. There's no getting around that, you guys. Nobody's going to feed it to you, not me, not anybody else. I hope you understand that. I hope you come back here every week to understand that more and more, to realize that my job here, as I see it, as I made the work for myself to be this kind of practitioner, and by the way, I could have done a much easier way. I could have given you top 10 lists every week. I could have written a diet book, and my career would be in a completely different place, but so would my happiness, which would be a lot less. That's a fact, okay? I hope you come here every week to learn what I edition out to enable you to do it yourselves. That's my ultimate goal. And you keep listening to this and you keep coming back as a reminder and you keep go, okay, cool, cool. And then you go back to your life and you make the work for yourself. You go back to your life and you add new steps. You go back to your life, you try new things, you bring in new habits, you question the traditions, you question the things that are so-called ingrained in your life and say, do they need to be? And you do that more and more over time. And you become happier and healthier in the process every single time. All right, you guys. You're doing great. You're doing great. What can I say? Email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. I didn't mention this before, but on sidgarzahillman.com, you can donate to the podcast. That is a huge thing for me, you guys. I spend a lot of time doing this. It's free. I don't want it not to be free, but if you feel like kicking me some money because it's good for you because you feel good about doing it and this podcast delivers something for you, then I think that that's nice too. I definitely think it's nice, and it really does help me mid makes things easier. Okay? It just does. Email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Throw me an iTunes review. But in the very least, until next week when I will be back, take care of yourselves. Think about things that you might want to embark upon, even if you don't make a single move to do it yet. Just give yourself that little fantasy of maybe I'll try that. And then, because you're a small stepper, quickly you're delving in minimal ways and you think to yourself, yeah, but I'm actually doing something. I'm doing something about that. Incredibly awesome stuff, you guys. I want that for everybody. Come back next week. You know where I'll be, here at the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, be well.
I'm killed and killed, 'cause I can't find the strength to wake up. I'm dead and dead, 'cause my cares went away with you. I'm feared and feared, 'cause I walk around with no ground beneath. Dreams they keep on rolling, plans they are making their way. All I can do is package them away, away. I'm lost, I'm lost, 'cause finding me nothing to me. I'm drunk, I'm drunk, 'cause I can't face another day. I'm spent, I am spent, 'cause I watched you throw it all away. Dreams they keep on rolling, the plans they are making their way. All I can do is package them away, away. Keep on rolling, the plans they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. Dreams they keep on rolling, the plans they are making their way. All I can do is package them away, away.